So just how far down do you want to go? Well, we could talk it out over a cup of Joe, and you could look deep into my eyes like I was a supermodel.
Okay, Steve, some Valley Music trivia for you. What song are we listening to right now?
Lauren, I actually know this one because I have this on vinyl, if you'll
you
believe
do?
This. Yes, Roger Klein's famous 96 hit Bandidos when he was with the Refreshments.
That's right. Klein is one of the local musicians who will be inducted into the Arizona Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame tonight at the Tempe Center for the Arts. Mike Myers is the acting president of the organization and says this year's ceremony will highlight the acts that made the 90s, quote, Tempe sound.
The nice thing about this group of people is the fact that they have Tempe roots, and although Roger Klein has pretty good visibility outside of Arizona, it's still homegrown bands that have had most of their success in their home area.
Myers says there was just something very special about that time. There was a feeling the Valley would be the next L.A. or Austin. The Pistoleros came up alongside Roger Klein's The Refreshments and the Gin Blossoms when the music scene on Mill Avenue exploded. Tonight, Roger Klein and the Peacemakers will be inducted alongside other Tempe acts, Dead Hot Workshop and the Pistoleros, as well as Long Wong's, one of the major venues on Mill Avenue at the time.
The show is sold out, which Myers attributes to the homegrown love for these acts.
All three of these groups have been very, very intentional about their music and their craft, and very serious musicians and wanting to do this very badly and be successful at it. And I think that's why they've all succeeded, is because they're good artists, they're good craftspeople, they're intentional, they're personable, and they've just done a good job at sticking with their dream, if you will, and seeing it through.
The Pistoleros, Lawrence Zubia and his brother Mark, had been playing music together their whole lives, but they made it big as well in the late 90s with the release of their album, Hang On To Nothing, and the song, My Guardian Angel. I sat down with Zubia in our studios recently to talk more about their Hall of Fame induction and what it was like to ride that Tempe music wave in the late 90s.
Back in the 90s, it was full speed ahead. It was Mill Avenue, and it was really fun, and the energy was awesome almost every night of the week. There were so many places to play live music along Mill Avenue, and we could play live original music.
Yeah. So you founded the band with your brother and with some other folks I know in the
right.
music scene at the time. But it sounds like you two were incredibly close. Did you grow up writing music together?
You know, looking back now, because that's what this whole induction and this legacy thing has done. It's made me remember and think about a lot of the past. And yes, Mark and I, as teenagers, played guitar. I started writing songs immediately. The minute I could put three chords together, it just kind of happened because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to write songs and sing them. Mark and I learned to play guitar from my dad, who was a musician. He was a mariachi musician with his brother. So it wasn't a huge leap to, you know, have guitars and be creating music in our house. We graduated from acoustic mariachi music into, our teenage years, finding out about people like Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, the Rolling Stones, and we started learning how to play those songs, and then that morphed into writing our own songs.
So when the band, you know, had that first kind of hit and like really kind of made it on a different level, what did that feel like? Like how satisfying, how exciting was it at the time?
It was awesome. I remember the first time I heard our song on the radio, we were going to do a show in Miami, and we got picked up at the airport. We usually got picked up in a, like a van, like a 15-passenger van,
yeah.
Church van type thing. But this time the guy came and he picked us up in this long stretch white limo. He must have known what was about to happen. So we were cruising out of the airport, down the highway, heading to Hard Rock Cafe to have lunch with a bunch of listeners that won tickets to have lunch with the Pistoleros.
Whoa.
It was like this whole surreal moment. And the song came on the radio.
And as I heard through the cold Nebraska night, I hear your voice and know that I might be all right.
It was like, like out of a movie, you know.
That is a movie scene.
It
right
was
there.
Crazy. Miami, White Limo, song on the radio, and it was the greatest feeling in the world. I'm not gonna lie, it was awesome.
So you had a long estrangement from your brother, though, and
we
from
did.
Music, it sounds like.
We did.
And you came back together in 2015. Can you tell us how that changed the relationship, how that changed the music?
Right. We actually had no contact with each other. Mm-hmm. And we got back together, and almost immediately we signed a record deal with Fervor Records. Fervor Records is based here in Sunny Slope. And Fervor let us do, gave us basically 100% artistic control over the record. We made the record we wanted. Fervor's main business model is licensing songs to television and film.
Hmm.
And that's the first time in our career that that has happened. Now we are, we're very happy.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
It ends up, you know, validating a lot of things. You know, it was a paycheck. It was also... just validating our songwriting over the years, and it felt like a little bit of a payoff after everything we put into this.
Yeah. She said, "Babe, can you try to make me scream? I saw life
walking in between." So my brother and I, our estrangement was one thing, but after we got back together, it really sparked a creative period, and we wrote a bunch of songs in the last couple years.
Yeah, and you had another record out just a couple years
yep.
ago in 2017.
Yep.
So let's talk about that creative boom you've been experiencing the last couple years, writing all this music again with your brother. How's the music different?
In a lot of ways, the music is different. In a lot of ways, the recording techniques are different, which kind of changes the way, you know, you think about writing songs. It's changed a lot. What hasn't changed is the basic creative process of being inspired, getting inspired. When you're inspired, are you near a guitar when, you know, the sparks are going? Can you capture that inspiration and put it in a song? A lot of that hasn't changed, how you write a song.
You're one of those who, when you get the idea, you have to go write it right then?
Have to write it then. Have to hit the voice thing on my phone. I've got literally hundreds of ideas like that in my phone. And then sometimes, and this is when it's at its most beautiful, is when you write a song and the entire song is written within like the length of the song in 4.5 minutes.
And it's
the
done.
Song is done.
You've written the whole thing.
Yep. And those are I think are the best songs.
They
one.
Fall into your head, right?
Yeah. I will meet you in the office of a lawyer, and we will watch the past implode like a voyeur.
So Arizona Music Hall of Fame. So this feels like a, like you mentioned, like a legacy moment, right?
It does.
So what do you think your legacy is? What do you hope your legacy is to Arizona music in particular?
Right. Well, it's hard to have perspective, but I look at it like these two native to Phoenix Chicano brothers kind of just made this unspoken bond, and it was through guitars and lyrics and melody, and we muscled our way into opening for the Blossoms and getting into that scene. And in a beautiful way, everyone accepted us and loved us. And we just wanted to contribute to that music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of, you know, by osmosis adopted this sound, I guess. It used to be called the Tempe sound. Mm-hmm. And I totally rejected that idea that there was a sound and that, you know, it was, you know, native to Tempe. But I have turned around 180 degrees on that. Looking back through this Hall of Fame induction and looking back on the last 30 years and listening to a lot of songs, there is most definitely A Tempe sound.
You accept the Tempe sound.
I have, and I can't believe I'm even saying that on radio and admitting it to the public. But there is, man. Yeah, we were right smack in the middle of it, for better or for worse.
But there's also a distinctly Arizona sound to you, because, like you say, like you can tell when you listen to your music that you grew up playing mariachi. There's the horns in there. You have Spanish in there. Like, there's something in there that feels very Arizona.
Definitely. You know, I'm not a really crafty songwriter. I don't think, I'm going to write a song that has some Spanish vibe in it or flamenco vibe in it or anything. It just happens, you know? It's like you were kind of alluding to, it's just part of the DNA.
All right. Lawrence Zubia with the Pistoleros, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's someone saying